Only book of Jude. And from there, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15 and then 2 Peter. Give you a heads up. We'll talk to you tonight about some interesting things, things that I think you, well, I know you need to know, things the Bible talks about, but not too many people talk about. Not too many people are talking about angels and talking about Lucifer and talking about the prince of the power of the air and talking about the Antichrist coming. All these things are real. And they are the cause of all our troubles on this earth. You know that, don't you? They are the cause of all our trouble. You know how many people have heard about the Pharisees in the Bible? You heard about the Pharisees? How many people have heard about the Sadducees? You heard about the Sadducees? What do you know the difference? The Pharisees and the Sadducees were totally different. It was like the Republicans and the Democrats. And what it is the Sadducees, you can remember them by saying it's sad, you see, because they didn't believe in any spiritual things. They didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in none of that stuff. And that's where we're kind of going today in a society, that there's people just, they're just forgetting about the spirituality and the spiritual matters. And we have been born again. Amen? Can I get an amen? We've been born again, born of God. Born of the Spirit of the living God, which makes us children of the Most High God, which also makes us spiritual beings, spiritual children. Do you understand that? And because we're spiritual, we need to think about the things that are in the Spirit more than we do now. Because what we do now is we always think about the things that are in the flesh, things that are in the carnal mind, things that are, it's happened in this world. And we're not thinking higher above where we really need to think. When something bad happens, sometimes people say, why did God let this happen? You know what I mean? Like, they don't even understand. God didn't let that happen. God does allow things to happen in people's lives to get their attention. Amen. But God doesn't, God does not put evil in this world. And God does not put sickness in this world. And God does not put diseases on this world. That is all a cause and a effect from sin. Sin does that. Sin is everywhere, isn't it? Isn't it everywhere? It's disgusting. It's vile. It's hideous. It's horrible. And it's in us. It's in this flesh. And therefore, if it's in this flesh, we ought to want to get rid of it as fast as possible. Can I get an amen? And the only way you can do that is to walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, worship in the Spirit, be in the Spirit, fellowship with the Spirit. All that stuff you can keeps the flesh at bay. And as long as that old flesh is down, that filthiness, the filth of the flesh is gone. So that, speaking on that, let's look with me in Jude chapter 1, of course. Are you all there? We're going to read Jude 1 down to 9. Are you all there? It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now here, Jude is a very interesting character because Jude is the brother of Jesus Christ. Jude is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Mary and Joseph had at least eight children. They had six sons, and then Jesus being the oldest and the first, and we know the story of Jesus' birth. Remember, it's called Christmas. I think you might know a little bit about that. But Joseph was not his father. As we know, God was his father, Mary being the woman, and the Bible tells us that Joseph did not know Mary until they brought forth the firstborn son, Jesus. Then they had a regular marriage. So Jude was one of the younger brothers of Jesus, which makes it very interesting because Jude here in these short little 25 verses talks about things that no one else in the Bible talks about. He mentions stuff that like, what? Wait a minute, what? And I think, personally, I think, where did he get this from? I think his brother told him some stuff. You know what I mean? I think he had some talks with his brother, and his brother probably mentioned stuff. And be honest with you, when he mentioned it, he probably went over his head, didn't even listen. But then afterwards, because Jude was not a believer in his brother. None of his brothers or sisters were believers in Jesus until after the resurrection. After they saw him resurrected and they received the Holy Ghost, then they became believers. And Jude, here when he wrote this book, he says some very interesting stuff in here. Let's read what it says. Verse 3. He says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it funny how Jude, being an unbeliever, said, the only Lord God and Jesus Christ? Like, he knew at first, you know, it was his own family. Jesus even said, he said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home. Brothers and sisters don't care. Even mothers and fathers don't listen to you. When you're, you know, it's your family. Family don't, they won't listen to you. But other people will listen to you. And so keep going on. It says, I will put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now look, he says in verse 6, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of that great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Here, he's talking about these angels, and he's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah in the same breath, because there's, I had a long talk with a friend, and because of children here, and I won't be explicit, but one of the most powerful things in the flesh is the sexual desires of the flesh. They are very, very powerful, and they're so powerful that they even made the angels sin. And they're so powerful that God wiped out a whole city and used it for an example for anyone else. And here, and I just want to put that seed in your thought, in your head, that how powerful that sexual desire is. It's very, very powerful. So powerful that it even reached into heaven. But look in verse 6, at the angels which kept not their first estate. That word estate means you're fixed condition. Your state is, the state is the condition that you're in, the body that you are in right now. That is your estate. You are a given in a bodily estate, and one day that bodily estate is going to die. Amen. But here, these angels, their first estate was a spiritual body. They are angels. They are spirits. Do you understand that? And it says, and they left their own habitation. Habitation is where you live, with your habitat, where you dwell. So here they left heaven. That's where they dwell. And they left their first estate. They changed their bodies. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about these angels that changed and became something else. And as you probably already know, angels are real. Can I get an amen? Angels are created beings by God. Can I get an amen? Angels were created first, way before us. Can I get an amen? They are called the sons of God. They are first. There's no women angels. I want you to understand that. They're all man angels. See, that's why when you understand women and the power that women possess, you understand this whole nature a little bit better. 1 Corinthians, turn with me, chapter 15, talking about this first estate. 1 Corinthians 15, look in verse 38 with me, please. It says, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. You know that, don't you? You know, let me just tell you something. If an angel can change his estate and leave heaven, what other estate would he take up? He would take up the form of a man. He would take up a body of a human. And that's why it says here, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men and another flesh of beasts, another of fish and another of birds. There are also, look at this, celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Terrestrial and celestial. Celestial means heavenly, terrestrial means earthly. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. Now, I wanted you to read that just to see about how there are celestial bodies and there are terrestrial bodies. And I want you to think about these angels that left their own habitation. Why are they so important? Look with me, if you would, in 2 Peter. 2 Peter tells us a little bit about it. Let me know when you're in 2 Peter by saying amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me know when you're there.
Amen.
Only two of you are there? All right, 2 Peter chapter 2, look in verse 4 with me. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned." You see, I want you to understand that angels can sin. God doesn't make robots. He makes beings that have free moral agents. They are absolutely free to make their own choices. And even angels that look in the presence of God, hear his voice, know him, even they can sin against him. So don't get too hard on yourself, Brian, and me, and us guys and ladies, when we fall and sin against God, because even angels sin. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that's a good thing, or I'm just letting you know. And look what he says, "For if God spared not the angels that sin," but what did he do? He cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. We're going to look at that in a minute, but look at the next verse. "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." And then he goes on again, "and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with the overthrow, making them" what? "An example unto those that should live ungodly." We don't talk a lot about homosexuality these days, but the Bible sure does. And every time it's bad. Amen. It's a different type of sin. It's a different type of an abomination, God calls it. Why? Because it's unnatural. And when things become an abomination, unnatural. You ever hear of cloning? You ever hear of cloning? Remember, like, what was it, like 20, 25 years ago, they were talking about cloning? Remember they were going to clone a sheep and they did all this? And then they were like, "We have to ban it," because everyone was thinking, "Oh my goodness, imagine they start cloning people." You know what I mean? Then you had movies come out and all this stuff, and it was scary. And, like, you know, you have freaks of nature. You know, it's like scary thinking that. Well, all that stuff is kind of real. And it's not natural, and it's an abomination because it's not natural, and it's not meant to be that way. And angels were never meant to leave heaven and become, and human beings were never meant to sin. We were all created in the image and likeness of God. We're supposed to be holy. So when something so hideous comes out, it manifests itself, and God deals with it right away. Look at me, if you would, in 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter. Talking about these angels that sin, God cast them down for judgment. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3:19. Look what it says. "By which also he," talking about Jesus, "went and he preached unto these spirits in prison." Now, we just read that these angels that fell, these sin, they were cast into hell in chains of darkness, waiting for the judgment. And it says that Jesus, when he went to hell, when he went to paradise, when he died, he went and he preached to them. Think about that. See, it's important to think about stuff, because why would Jesus go and preach to them? When you preach in the Bible, let's just be real as simple as we can. When you hear about preaching in the Bible, what are you always preaching? What are you preaching? The what? Gospel. Right? When people just don't preach about the fish they caught. People preach about what the preacher preaches about. Jesus preaches about. Every preacher's ever preached preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the angels here obviously have heard the gospel. They've heard things that you wouldn't even imagine. They've heard things before you ever even were thought of. And here Jesus went and preached to them, because he knows them, because he knows them by name, because he created them. And here, these are angels that fell, that sinned, and are in chains of darkness. I wonder what he preached about. I wonder what he talked about. I have a theory. But look what it says in verse 19, or in verse 20. It says, in verse 18, "by which he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were" what? "Disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days" — say it, church — "of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now we know that these angels that left their own habitation, that left their own estate, these angels that sinned, that God put them in the chains of darkness, we know when it was. It was back during the flood. He just told us that. So with that said, let's go back towards the flood. Look in Genesis chapter 6. While you're going to Genesis 6, do me a favor and stop off at Job chapter 4 and put your finger there in Job chapter 4 once you get to Genesis 6 and go back to Job. I just want to show you a verse, if you don't mind. And in Job chapter 4, do you happen to be there by any chance?
Amen.
Job chapter, just a verse I want you to look at. Look in 4:18. It says, "Behold, he puts," talking about God, "he puts no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly." See, I just want you to realize that if angels could sin then, they can sin now. If angels can fall away from God and do what it is that they did. Let me ask you this question. How did sin get into this world? Come here from you. How did it get here? How did sin get here?
Satan.
Satan brought it in. The devil brought sin into the garden and offered it to Adam and Eve, and they ate of it. Amen. Well, how do you think the angels sin? Same way. Satan. He's the same one that brought sin into them. What does God, what does Jesus, one of the names that Jesus calls Satan? What's he call him? The deceiver. The liar. He was the father of lies. The father of lies. God's the father of angels. The devil is the father of lies. That means the very first lies he spoke were in heaven. And so I want you to think about that, because it all is going to tie in a minute. Now back in Genesis chapter 6. Let me know when you're there. Look in verse 1, we're going to read down a few verses, and it says, "And it came to pass when men," you know who men are? Anybody have a problem with knowing who men is? You all know who men are, right? That's us. It says, "began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them." Now, just stop. I know this is simple, but there's people that have problems with this. There's many, many Christians out there, because of false teachings, because their pastors won't tell them the real truth about what's going on, so they have to make up something because they don't believe, like a Sadducee, they don't believe what we're about to learn. They don't believe what we just read, because they've been taught something else in seminary. So because they've been taught that in seminary, they can't teach it, because then they feel like a heretic, because they're going against their pastor. Let the Bible tell you what the Bible says. Amen? Just let the Bible tell you what the Bible says. But here he says, so is it very hard to understand that we're talking about men and daughters? You got that? Men, human beings, and daughters born unto them. I have some daughters. You have some daughters. We know what they are. It's not a strange thing. Look what it says, verse 2. "That the sons of God saw the daughters of men." You see the two distinct distinctions? Totally two different groups. "They saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and that they took them wives of all which they chose." Now, I'm not going to go down the road right now. We can do that in another time, of what it means to have a wife. But everywhere in the Bible, if you want to know, that every time you ever have a relationship with another, that's called you had a marriage. I know it sounds like, what? Yeah, that's how important it is to God when two become one. When two flesh become one, that's a marriage. Whether it doesn't have a ceremony, it doesn't have a piece of paper, but in the eyes of God, it's a marriage. So just let chew on that for a little while, you know what I mean? But anyway, I don't want to distract you, but look what it says. "That they were fair, they took them wives, all that they chose." So you know what that means. "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. It's funny how God says he also is flesh. See, it's what he's talking about is that. And in verse 4 it says, "There were giants in the earth in those days." And also after that, when the sons of God, and who are these sons of God? I know most of you guys know, because we taught that. The sons of God is a title only given at this time to angels. There's only four groups that are sons of God. Who knows the very first group? What's the very first group called sons of God? Anybody know? Angels. Angels are created. They're called the sons of God. Who's the second group called the sons of God? Anyone know? Tony? No, you're too far. It's Adam. Adam is called the son of God. So your angels are sons of God. Adam is called the son of God. Who is the third son of God? It's Jesus Christ. He's called the only begotten son of God. He literally was begotten by God. The first two are created beings created by God called the sons of God. The third is the only begotten son of God. And the fourth, and there's only four groups, the fourth is those that are born again. It says, now are we the sons of God. We are, he that has the Spirit is the son of God. So we are a new creature, a new creation, that we've been born into God's family, created by the Holy Ghost himself through Christ Jesus. So there's four groups. The first groups are angels. They are the first. It's important to remember that. Jesus said in Luke 13:30. You're going to see a lot of places we look when it talks about this. It's always chapter 13, chapter 13. A lot of 13s in there. But he says in chapter 13, verse 30, he says, he that is shall be last shall be first, and he that is first shall be last. He says that in five different places in the Bible. So if you think about it this way, those that are first will be last, and those that are last shall be first. Put it this way, let's look at those, okay, the word those. So who were first sons of God? Angels. So angels were first, but they're going to be last. And who is the last? Us, and we're going to be first. And this means something, because I want you to tie things together. When Jesus went and preached to the angels, he preached some type of gospel. He preached the gospel of his coming. He talked to them about him. He talked to them about God's plan. He talked to them about salvation. Mostly when Jesus preached, you know what he preached? The kingdom of God is at hand. I believe that in heaven, God told the angels, the sons, about the kingdom of God. I believe in heaven, God told his sons, the angels, that he was going to live on earth, and earth and heaven would be one, and that people would live forever, and that they would be like him. I believe he told them all that. And I also believe, the reason I believe this is because the Bible says that angels were made ministering spirits to those who will be heirs of salvation. Angels were made first more powerful, more beautiful, more holy, and we were made very low, much lower than the angels, and yet the angels are commanded by God to serve us, to serve us, to help us, be there for us. Well, could you imagine the top angel of all of them? His name is Lucifer. He was it tells us his position in Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel chapter 28 says that he was created with pipes of gold coming out of him. That means he played all the music in heaven. It tells us in Ezekiel 28 that nine stones were built into his body. And it tells you the stones. And it says that his name, Lucifer, is light bearer. And it says that he was the anointed cherub. He was a cherub angel that covereth. And we know that God made the Ark of the Covenant with two cherub angels that covereth. And we understand these things, that Lucifer, being I don't know if he was the first, second, or third angel, I don't know, but I know that he was the most beautiful of all. He was the most powerful of all. He had the most amazing gifts of all. And his job was to cover the throne of God himself. And Jesus said, God is a spirit. And Jesus said, God is light. And the Bible tells us that the light of God himself is so bright that no man could even gaze upon him. He's so bright. He is light itself. And so therefore, this angel that was made of gold and pipes and precious stones in his chest, he would cover over the throne of God, covering him. Because in the Bible, God always has a covering. He's always covered in clouds and thick and darkness, in glory. He's covered. Do you understand that? There's a lot to learn about us too, being covered. Nakedness is not of God. We are the only creatures ever made that need clothing. require clothing. Amen. There's reasons for all these things, and I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail now. But this Lucifer angel covered the throne of God, and that means all the light that God had shined upon him and hit those 9 stones. And can imagine, just imagine the prisms that came out, and you can go out and read the stones, beryl stones and diamonds and rubies and all. And that light of God hit those stones and beamed out from him in every direction, all multicolors like you couldn't imagine. The beauty that came from that. And then the music played out of him like I couldn't imagine. And the glory of God shone, and all the angels fell down and bowed and sang songs and worship the Lord God Almighty. And then God says, and I'm going to make man in my own image, in my likeness. And he says, and you angels are going to serve them. I could imagine Lucifer, the Bible tells us in a couple different places, that he was lifted up in pride because of his beauty, because of his merchandise, it says. That means he's got a lot to give. And it says that he was lifted up and he said, I will be as God. I will ascend into the Most High. I will sit on the throne. I will. It's called the 5 I wills of God. And so we know that God, because Lucifer, pride took him out, God cast him down to hell. And the Bible says that he took 1/3 of the angels with him. And it tells us in different places, and we're going to look at that in a minute, but if you look with me back in chapter 6, it says that in verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. After that, when the sons of God, angels, came into the daughters of men. And what'd they do? They bear them children. Now, it's not hard to understand. We all understand the birds and the bees. We understand you get married, you have a husband and wife, you have children, right? We understand that. So we know what's going on. I want to let you know something, that all this that's happening was 100% direct against God. It was against the gospel. It was against God's plan. It was not what God wanted. But for some reason, these angels left their own habitation, left their own estate, and they changed and became, when I say became human, they became human in form. Now, I'm going to give you the one verse, and I'm sure you know it. This is why. This is all this that happened then, right? The reason I'm telling you this is because it's happening again, and it's going to happen again. Because they're still angels, you understand that. And what God did, and I'll be brief, what God did is when he saw these angels take on human bodies, he saw these angels having, you know what, with women, he saw these children, they were called giant, Nephilim it's called. And that means mighty fallen ones. And the Bible says they were giants. And a very interesting study is, how many people have heard about the old Greek gods, right? You heard about the old Greek gods, Hercules and Zeus and all that stuff. Where do you think they got that from? They got it from the stories of Noah's family from before the flood, about these giants that were powerful. They had mighty beings. About all these stories, about all this, and they made them into gods, as they were, and that's where all these stories come from. It's a very interesting study. But the truth of the matter is we know that who they were. They were fallen angels, amen? And they were devils. And God took those angels that fell, and he put them in chains. You know how he did that? He said, repented me that I even made man. It made me sick. In chapter 2, he said, it is good, it's very good. In 4 chapters later, he says, it makes me so sick that I'm going to destroy every living, breathing thing. Every man, woman, child, animal, bird, they're all dying. Why do you think he got so angry? Because not of man, because of these angels. And what they did, and God was showing all of heaven what's going to happen. Because angels can turn into human beings. Did anyone not know that? See, what happens is in Genesis chapter 18, we have a story. And the story is Abraham, he's at his tent, and 3 men show up in the front. And the Bible says it was angels. And one was the Lord, and with 2 angels. And they showed up, and Abraham saw him, ran to them, and said, please stay. You've come to my house. Stay. Let me make something to eat. Let me give you something to drink. Sit, rest. Let me wash your feet. And they all said, okay. And they sit down, and he cooks them a meal. They eat. They drink. They're human. Their bodies. They look like people. And they rest. And then God gets up and goes to leave, and he tells them what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. And we know the story that he said that he Jewed them down. Excuse me, forgive me for that. That's horrible for me to say that. And so you say he bargained them down from wiping them all out, that if there was just 10 righteous people, I won't wipe it out. There's a lot to learn about that, because do you think God's going to wipe out this world if there's 10 righteous people on it? The answer is no. So how does God wipe out this earth? He takes the righteous off the planet. And it's the same stories, the next chapter, chapter 19 of Genesis, when now these two angels go down and they see Lot, and they get Lot, and they tell Lot, let's go. You got to get out. We're going to destroy it. Great story there, because the angels say, we cannot do anything until you're out of here. See, that's a great story, because it tells us about the rapture of the church. God can't pour out his wrath and his judgment until we're out of here. And when the angels literally grabbed them by the hand and pulled them out of the city, and they said, we can't do anything until you're gone. And so here we know that these angels looked like men. They came into the city, and all the Sodomites and all the wickedness of the city, filled with just devils in their spirits, in their minds. See, angels learn a lesson. Humans don't learn that much of a lesson. Angels learned what happens if they change into human beings without God's permission. You see, God has to give an angel permission to change into a human, because angels have to do what God says to do. Amen? And so if God says, go down there and do something, whatever it is he has them do, then it also they're allowed to change back. And when they change back, nowhere in Scripture does it tell us how they become a man. They just become. They change. But it does tell us one place in Scripture how they change back. And it's very interesting. And I want to show you that, because we're out of time. Look in Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13 is a very interesting verse. It's a little interesting story. Let me know when you're there in Judges 13. We have the story of Samson. Samson, the first Avenger, Brian. And he was. He was strong. He was like stronger than Captain America. He was like stronger. He was stronger than Spider-Man. He was real strong, Connor. He was like Hercules, and he's not even a real person. He was like, let me think. I can't even think how he was like. He was like super, super strong, like Superman. And he could do things that nobody could do. And I wonder how he got so strong. I think probably because he was... his spirit inside of him was an angel inside of him. But anyway, let's look with me, if you would, in Judges chapter 13, verse 3. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore I pray, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, nor eat anything unclean. And for lack of time, look in verse 6. It says, then the woman came and told her husband, and said, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not from whence he was, neither told me his name. And if you look down there with verse 19 with me, verse 19, it says this. So Manoah took a kid with meat offering and offered it upon the rock. Well, I'm sorry. Let me just go up to 17. Verse 16. There you go. I'm just trying to skip. The angel of the Lord, verse 16, said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. You see, when angels take on bodies, you can't tell. You can't tell. They look human, sound human. You cannot tell that they are not human beings. You know what's the one thing that changes them and makes them not human? Is they're not born of a woman. What makes us human beings is we were born of a woman. When God made Eve, he made her for a purpose, to be the mother of all living. And when Jesus Christ came, Jesus was a type. Well, God bless you. Jesus was a type of Adam and a type of Eve. He was a type of Adam because he was the second Adam, but he came out of God like Eve came out of Adam. And he came out of God just like Eve came out of Adam for a purpose and a reason to procreate. Jesus came out of God to do what? To procreate. And when he was crucified, the sword pierced through his rib and it punctured his heart, what came out? Blood and water. That is a birth. That is natural birth. And that's why Jesus said in four different places, except a man that is born of a woman. A man that is born of a woman. You know, in John 3:3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then he said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit." The second birth can only happen if you were born the first time. You must be a human being, complete. Angels that become bodies, they have all the functions that a human body has, but they're not human. Do you understand that? They have every function, and you can think about that in your own mind, but they're not human. Therefore, they cannot be born again. But that, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that angels desire to look into about the gospel. Angels wish they could have what we have. Here, we take it for granted, Brian. We are given a promise by God, eternal life. We're given so much. We're going to be like God. And we throw it away and act like it's nothing. Angels look at it and go, "Are you kidding me? I would do anything to have that. I would love to have that." Well, that said, if we look with me back in the chapter 13, and it says in verse 17, "And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is your name? And when when the sayings come to pass, we may do you honor. The angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? So Manoah took a kid with the meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did," look at this, "the angel did wondrously, and Manoah, his wife, looked on. And it came to pass when the flame went up towards heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord descended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that it was an angel of the Lord." How do angels turn back? They turn back as a flame of fire. It tells us in Psalms 104 verse 4 that God has made his spirits ministers of angels of fire. Ministers of flame. Ministers of fire. God himself is an all-consuming fire. All these things we have to look back on. But anyway, that the reason I said that is because here these giants that were in the land, these Nephilim, they had to die. So God wiped out and flooded the entire earth to kill them and every man on it. But God wasn't done with man, of course. We know that he saved Noah and Noah's wife and his children. And Noah's wife and his children came after the flood and they repopulated the earth. Do we know what these giants? Now I'm going to give conjecture. I'm going to tell you what I believe. Because Genesis 3:15, look with me, Genesis 3:15, is the reason behind all of this. It's the reason what's going on in our lives now. It's the reason that's what's going to happen soon when the Antichrist comes. It's the reason God is doing what God's doing, all from Genesis chapter 3 in verse 15. And here we have the story. We have God is there with Adam, with Eve, and with the serpent. And God pronounces a judgment on Adam. He pronounces a judgment on Eve. And now he's pronouncing a judgment on the devil. And he says in verse 15, "But I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This was the gospel of Jesus Christ coming, the Son of God, the Son of Man, coming from a woman that was going to destroy the power of Satan himself. This was prophesied all the way back in Genesis with the first man and woman. And just remember the devil, right? The devil, Satan, was told by God, and Satan knows whatever God says is going to happen. Because Satan knows his word is real. So what happens is now Satan is told that out of this woman is going to come a seed. And it's interesting when you think about it, women don't have seeds, men have seeds. Women have eggs. Amen? But so he's talking about an immaculate conception. He's talking about Mary all the way up in the New Testament, that this woman was going to bear a child, a man, but he was not going to be of this earth. He was not going to be of this world. He was going to be literally the son, the offspring of God Almighty himself. the Son of the living God. He like no one else. And so therefore, Satan, hearing this in Genesis 3:15, being who he is, did everything in his power to stop this from happening. What did he start to do? He started to corrupt man worse. What happened when Adam and Eve had a child? His name was Cain. Did you ever hear about him? And Abel? The first thing he tried to do is just not let this happen. So what did he do? He made Cain a murderer and killed Abel. And then finally, Adam had more children. And we know the story. What happened? During Genesis chapter 6, men started populating. Women. So now these sons of God, think about this. The devil, knowing them, being one of them, went to them and talked to them as he does. I will not say used car salesman. I will not say that even though you don't sell used cars. But I'm talking about a deceiver, someone that will lie and propagate a lie so good that anyone will believe him. So he put his arm around the angel and said, hey, guys, look at this. And now angels are looking down, just like he said to the woman, look at that tree. Isn't it good for food? Just like you look down, look at this. You can have this. You can do this. This is what God wants for you, because God promised the angels. This is where I'm going to give you a little something that I'm going to have to end on. But God, we know that Jesus went and preached to the angels. So I believe the angels had a gospel, that the angels were promised just like we have a promise. Amen. God's promised us. The angels were promised, but they had to wait, because you were first is going to be last. And I believe that the angels had to wait for everything that God's doing, and then they would get their chance to have humanity. I believe that in the millennial reign of Christ, angels I forgot her name, not Elizabeth, Samson's mom, and Manoah, the father, she was barren, and all of a sudden, the angel came and said, you're going to have a child, and this child was different. This child was strong. This child was amazing. It was Samson, amen? But I believe that the angels are going to be allowed to do what they tried to do in Genesis 6, to populate the earth, to become human, to have children, and to be partakers in the divine nature, to be partakers in the blood of Jesus Christ, to be partakers in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too can have what we have. The Bible tells us, and I'm out of time, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, Apostle Paul, and I love this verse because it says, don't you know that you're going to judge angels? Now, I'm out of time. I'm way out of time. But I want you to think about this. That's not said anywhere else in Scripture, Brian. There's no talk about it. It's no mentioned it. Only Paul, who went up into the third heaven, he said that he heard things that were unlawful for him to say. He said when he got stoned, it didn't say stoned at Derby, but I believe that's when it was. When he got stoned to death in Derby, I believe God took him up in the third heaven. God showed him things, he saw things, and he heard things, and God says, you're not allowed to tell anybody. Now, Apostle Paul, writing 13 books of the New Testament, so I think something slipped out. Because la, 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 all of a sudden, don't you know you're going to judge angels? Oh, and by the way, you know, like, what? No, what do you mean we're going to judge angels? How are we going to be judges over angels? Think about that. What in the world do we know about that angels don't know about? What could we possibly tell right from wrong to an angel? In the millennial reign, we're going to be given glorified bodies. And we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ himself. Do you understand that? The people of the earth are going to come to us and ask us what's right and wrong. What should we do? What should we not do? We have been blessed, and I'm going to use that word, blessed, to be able to experience the sins of this world and to be forgiven from them. We can experience the depths of sin and know its consequences and be washed and cleansed from them. We we're born in sin. We're conceived in sin. We're baptized in sin. We have sin in our eyes, sin in our ears, sin in our minds. We have sin all over. Yet we are as pure and as holy as God is, because he said that. That is remarkable, mind-blowing. Angels sin one time, they're cast out of heaven. Do you understand? And they have been given a promise that if they will just serve God, do what they're said, they will get their chance and they'll get their time. I believe that. I'm totally out of time right now.
What was that verse here? 1 Corinthians
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, and 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10. Now, I'm totally done, but I want you to think about this. In Joshua chapter 13, I said I'm totally done. We might as well look at it, and we'll finish. Joshua chapter 13. Joshua's right after Deuteronomy. Joshua 13, are you there? Look at me, if you would, in verse 12. 13, 12. It says, all the kingdom of Og in Bashan, which reigned in Astaroth, this is not the verse. Oh, yeah, there it goes. In Edrei, who remained of the remnants of the giants, for these did Moses smite and cast them out. Remnants of the giants. You see, Satan in Genesis 3:15 tried to get his angels to pollute the line of humanity, to corrupt that line so that that man could never come out of the woman and never destroy him. Do you understand that? He's been trying to stop that forever. That didn't work. So all of a sudden, God now, after the flood, God chose a man, Abraham. And he gave him a promise. And then Abraham had a grandson, Jacob. And Jacob wrestled with God and was called Israel. And then in the book of Numbers, we have a prophet give a prophecy about Israel, saying, out of Israel shall rise a star. And that's with the star that the wise men followed. And that star shall have a scepter, and he shall rule the world with a rod of iron. And he shall destroy Moab and all this stuff. So the devil knew that Israel, it was going to come out of Israel. Do you understand that? So what did the devil do from the beginning of Israel's conception? Tried to destroy Israel. Tried to kill Israel. Everything is about destroying and stopping this one from coming. Do you understand that? So therefore, the devil or the angels, seeing that God wiped them all out, because once an angel takes on a body and he does it without God, he can't change back. And once he has a body, he can be killed. And God killed them with a flood. Do you understand that? And they're in chains of darkness and reserved for judgment. So therefore, the angels learned a lesson. But here we see a remnant, a few, a couple, whatever, still fell. And they took on a body. And they started having children. And they were called Anakins from the Amalekites. And they had giants. And we know some of their names. We know Goliath and we know others. And we see these giants, 9, 10, 13 feet tall. And they were mighty and strong. And what was the reason? Where were the giants at? They were always the enemies of Israel trying to destroy Israel. And God even let a little boy, 12-year-old, kill Goliath. Amen. And so we see these giants show up, a few, just a couple. Little spots from one nation or one race of people. And that's why God told Saul, go and kill the Amalekites. Utterly destroy them. Kill every man, woman, child. Don't spare. You wipe them all out. And it sounds, wow, man, God's mean. No, God knew that that was the line of the giants. And God wanted them to strike. And Saul didn't do it. And if you look back in time, the Amalekite line was all the way in Ruth, the book of Ruth. When you had Haman, he was an Amalekite. And Haman was the one that got king to try to kill and destroy all the Jews. See, everything is about killing the Jews in Israel. Well, I just want to finish with this, is that now everything is about killing us. Because we are the sons of God. We are given the promises of God. We are going to be given the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? So Satan hates it. He tried to kill Jesus. When Jesus was born, had Herod send out and kill all the babies. He tried to attempt Jesus to get Jesus to worship him. He tried, and then he finally got Jesus being crucified, and he thought he won. He didn't realize the whole story. The Bible says if the prince of this world would have known, he would have never crucified the Lord. So by Jesus' death, then therefore he has power over Satan to crush his head. He has given us that power. We have the same power in us that the apostles had. We have might not have the measure of it, but you can have the measure of it. We have victory. We have the power to be overcomers. We have the power to have victory. We have the power to overcome. And you know where your kingdom starts? Your kingdom starts with you. You are the king of one. If you cannot rule your own life, rule your own thoughts, rule your own heart, then how can you rule cities and nations and judge angels? God has given us a book. God has given us preachers and teachers. God has given us His Spirit. Do you understand? And it is a spirit of holiness. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to have control of ourselves. Say no to a cigarette. Say no to alcohol. No to drugs. No to pornography. No to lying. One of the things that amazes me is that I can't lie. I say one little thing, I feel like I just did something horrible. If I say one little white lie, I feel like I just killed somebody. You know what I mean? It's like, are you serious? God is awesome. God is awesome. Now, I tried to jam that all in, but in Isaiah 14, verse 12, it tells us that Lucifer was called the son of the morning. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 22 that Jesus Christ is called the bright and morning star. And it tells us that Jesus, in the books, the seven letters to the seven churches, that Jesus said, for those that overcome, He's going to give them the morning star. So we are going to be like the angels in heaven are. But yet we're going to be like God is. We're going to have physical body and spiritual body. It's going to be absolutely amazing what it is that God has in store for us. So what do I get out of all this? Since the devil has tried from the beginning to try to stop Christ, that's what he's trying to do in you. He's trying to stop Christ in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to fight it. We need to understand it. We need to come against it. We need to yield to the Spirit, the things of God, the Word of God, and start to finally become who we were meant to be, the sons and daughters of God on this earth, Christians. Little Christs walking around. And I'll tell you right now, you don't have to be perfect, but what you do have to be is spirit-led, spirit-filled, and spirit-used. Do you understand that? And the closer you get to God, the more the devil's going to try to stop you. So please, and so what happens is we have an enemy, an adversary. So you wonder why things get rough. Maybe it's because you're getting closer to God than you ever have before. And I just want you to realize that all these things are happening. All these things are real. All these things have already happened, and they're going to happen. Jesus said this. He said, just like in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So these things are going to happen again. Angels will fall. They'll become human. They'll do stuff. Lucifer himself, the devil himself, is going to take on a body because he's smart. He knows that if he takes on a body, and he can, then he's stuck in that body. That's why he doesn't do it. That's why he gets other people to do it. He gets the peons to do it. But when he's cast down from heaven after, in Revelation 12, it says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that his time is but a little. He's going to have 7 years left. And that's when he's going to become the Antichrist. And that's when he's going to have all power, authority, and this whole world that is his as it is. Because it's not that he owns it. Christ owns it, but he runs it. Because he runs the hearts of the sinners. He runs the heart of men. He runs the kings. He runs the governments. He gets them to do what he wants to do. I'm out of time, but I want everyone to think about that. If you have any questions, you can always ask me because I love talking about it. So let's pray. Almighty God and Father, we come to you in prayer in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that we are nothing of ourselves, but we know that you are God and you are everything and you live and dwell in us. So we have the power of God in us. We have the Spirit of Christ Jesus dwelling in us. We pray that you would forgive us for our weaknesses, our iniquities, for our lack of faith. Forgive us for our slothfulness. Forgive us for all the times we believed the devil and didn't believe you. We are more than conquerors because you said so. If we have faith, we're able to move mountains. There's nothing that shall be impossible to us. So I pray that each and every one of us can fight the good fight of faith to be the men and women that you want us to be. God, help us, strengthen us, lead us, guide us, teach us, and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Help us to read in the Word and what you said to do to be filled. We want to be filled with you, Lord. And we just pray you keep the devil at bay, and we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.